445. 445 is through the first, third, and fifth verse. 1, 3, and 5. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Hear not I with thee, be still, in all thy servant's law. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Keeps me now the riches of His grace, resting each and sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shall sing. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to the world unknown. I shall live with Him on high. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Our opening prayers turn back to 441. 441 of hymn 1, 2, and 4.
Precious memory, unseen angel, sent from somewhere to my soul. How vividly sure ever hear me, and the sacred past unfold. Precious memory, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. In the stillness of the midnight, echoes from the past I hear. Old time singing, gladness ringing, from that lovely land somewhere. Precious memory, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred things unfold. As I tremble on my pathway, know not what the years may hold.
Let us pray. Kind Father in heaven, we indeed thankful unto you for the opportunity that you are allowing us at this time to rise up from our beds this morning, coming here to conduct this worship service. Pray that each one that attended for the purpose of getting some things that they might be able to apply to their lives. May we get some things that we can apply to our lives that will also be better service of yours, being able to receive it in a way, an opportunity presents itself, we can share it to others and help them to be able to come into the knowledge of the truth. And those that are in need of becoming members of the fold, may they take advantage of the opportunity. Thankful that we are living in a country whereby we can come together on such occasions. Maybe it's an opportunity to continue to be available to us here in this country. We realize that in a country or whatever it is, in the environment, pray that decisions can be made to try to hinder such things to be conducted, and pray that it would not happen here in the United States. We realize in some parts of the world, perhaps there are some places that people are not interested in it. And pray that men and women here in this country will always be interested in it. It's good for the country, and it's good for living in society. As we look out in society, we see so many things that are being done today that in times past were not like that, and just seem to be on the increase. And we know the solution would be if we could just get into your word and try to live by it. Maybe it would be beneficial to everybody. At this time, may your blessing be upon the one that I mentioned here that are sick, some that may be buried in the loss of loved ones. And may each one, those that are here and in other places that have recently undergone surgery, unable to be with us, those that are even confined to the home, may be able to recover and be able to come back and be with us. Whatever we are able to do to assist them in their recovery, may we do so, give them the encouragement. May your blessing continue to be with the leadership here, and as we oversee this congregation, and we can do things that will be pleasing unto you. And Father, at this time, may your blessing also be with us as we listen to Brother Skippy as we soon present the message of the album. May we listen attentively to it, and be able to apply the things that he shares with us through our lives. Thankful, Father, that we have the opportunity to be able to be a participant in that also as we listen to it. And so may your blessing continue to be with us always, and as often as we come together, Christ, and we do pray. Amen.
Fourth petition of the Lord's Supper, that's 340. Well, pretty, let's do the first three verses. 1, 2, and 3.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest grace, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His gold is covered and his blood, the for me is a whelming flood. All around my soul gives way, he is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
At this time, we've come to the portion of our worship service where we remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I just want to briefly read the passage of Scripture here that helps explain exactly what the Lord's Supper is. This will be 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll start at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And also as a note, earlier in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 7 specifically there's at least one New Testament reference establishing the Lord's Supper as part of our worship on the first day of the week. So we read that the Lord's Supper consists of two elements. We have the bread, which represents the body of our Lord. We have the cup, or the fruit of vine, which represents his shed blood. As we just read Scripture, we'll give thanks for the bread and partake, and then we'll do so for the cup. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father God in heaven, Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, at this time, we're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father, for his willingness to go to the cross, Father, to sacrifice himself, to give each and every one of us the chance at eternal life, Father. And Lord, as we're about to partake of this bread, which represents his body, We pray, Father, that you'd help us clear our minds, our hearts, that we'd reflect back to the cross, reflect back to Christ, and that we might partake of this bread in a way and in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto thee. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day, for allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, to be able to gather together, to come together, another worship service unto you, Heavenly Father, and for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to come together on this first day of the week, to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to partake of the Lord's Supper, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for sending unto this world thy only begotten Son. And we're so thankful unto thy Son, Jesus, that even though he himself was without sin, even though he had the power to save himself from that cruel cross, Heavenly Father, that he was still willing to give his life, for he loved this world so much, to give his life, to die for the sins of this world. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents thy Son's most precious blood, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
We try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, but it's possible we may have mistakenly overlooked someone. So if you were happen to be missed with either of the elements, if you'd raise your hand at this time, and we'll make sure that you're served. I don't see any hands, so now we'll move on to another portion, another act of worship, and that concerns giving. And there's just a couple of brief set of passages I wanted to read on giving. First comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and starting at verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And that passage describes giving as an act of our worship on the first day of the week, a biblical commandment. But now, with that being said, I want to read a second set of passages from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and starting at verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one gives as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, although it's a part of our biblically commanded act of worship, it should be a willing obligation that we have as Christians to be able to have the opportunity to give back a portion of what the Lord has richly blessed us with. So at this time, we'll go to God and give thanks for this opportunity that we have now to give back what he's blessed us with. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow once again for your mighty throne, Lord. Father, at this time, we're ever mindful, thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Lord. Father, we recognize and understand that you bless us with all of our talents and abilities and our ability to use those blessings to be able to gain a monetary living, Father. And Lord, we're so thankful for all the many blessings that you've given us, Father. And at this time, as we have opportunity to give back just a small portion of what you've richly blessed us with, Lord, we pray that we'd have a willing and a cheerful heart, Father, and we pray that any collection received would be able to further the work of the church here and broaden the borders of thy kingdom, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Matthew Mark, Psalm 449, that is the song that we're discussing this morning. 449. And for the lesson in our scripture, let's turn back one page. 448.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than golden and earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sun, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus goes, it's smiling, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus, listening, can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sun, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus goes, his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and grace and love. For blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above, all their sunshine, blessed love. While the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling, there is sunshine in my soul. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my
scripture reading for this morning's sermon would be taken from the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verses 16 through 19. That's Ephesians, chapter 3, and verses 16 through 19. And I'll be reading from the King James translation. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, which might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, our preacher, Brother Skippy Norman, in his sermon this morning is titled, All Around Love.
and say good morning. Really, once again, God has blessed us to be able to be here this morning to study a portion of that true and divine word. It's good to see those who are here this morning and those who have called in on our conference call. It's glad that you have taken part to be a part of this service. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for this day and your blessings, this opportunity you've given us to come together to study a portion of true and divine word. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here and those who have called in. Pray hard as we're about to go into your word that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation, and Lord, the conclusion of this message. The things we've fallen short of, Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather in your word the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we want to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. We want to look at this all around love. In verse 16 through verse 19, Paul prayed for several things. He prayed that the Ephesians would be strengthened with might or power in the New King James Version through his spirit in your inner being. That's verse number 16. Why would Paul pray that? Well, because most mortal organizations we belong to depend upon us doing something. A lot of churches have been led to believe that it is their strength that will make the church powerful, that will make the church vibrant. In fact, there's all kind of books. There is blogs. There is conferences designed to help the struggling church to learn new methods and techniques to become bigger and more powerful. And these methods, these techniques can be very helpful, but that isn't where the church gets its true strength. The church strength doesn't come from mortal power, but through God's spirit. If a church forgets that, then they can fall into a trap. But then Paul prayed in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, think about it this way. In a lot of churches, people will ask their neighbors, have you heard our preacher? Or have you seen our building? Or have you heard about the ministries, the programs that we have? Now, that's all well and that's all good, because I've often said stuff that like that myself. But watch this. What we ought to be saying is this. We ought to be saying, have you heard about my Jesus? Because without Jesus, we haven't got anything. So, in fact, you may not be able to win them to church. You may not be able to win them to programs and outreaches and such, but people will come to Jesus. That's why in John chapter 12 and verse number 32, Jesus said, I'll draw all men unto me. He didn't say he'll draw all men unto Skippy. He didn't say he'll draw all men unto the congregation, but he said, I'll draw all men unto himself. And so people need to be drawn to Jesus by our faith that we have in Jesus. It's our faith in Jesus that will change this world. The problem sometimes that we have is a lot of Christians have grown stagnant in their faith. There is no flow to their faith. They don't do much beyond just going to church. And so as a result, they don't sense the power of God's Spirit or the importance of their faith in Jesus Christ. But then Paul prayed in verse number 18. Paul prayed that the Ephesians might comprehend. Well, when you look at that word, comprehend, it means to grasp hold of. It means to get it. Paul prayed that the Ephesians would grasp hold of something that will pave the way for God's work among them. And so what is this amazing something that Paul prayed that they would get a hold of? Well, it's there in verse number 18. Paul praying that they would understand in the New King James Version how wide, how long, how high, how deep Christ's love really is. And so this is the core of what changes you and I. It's in knowing the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of Christ's love that motivates us to do what Jesus wants us to do. So it's only when we understand how much Jesus loves us that our faith can make any difference in the world that we live in. Because it's our sharing that love, that lives are changed. And then in verse 19, Paul, he talks about knowing the love of Christ. Paul wants us to know God's love, even though he acknowledges that we are capable of fully knowing it. Why is it that when Paul talks about knowing God's love, he is so excited that he cannot contain himself? But when we hear about it, we are more tempted to yawn than to get excited. Because why is that? Because we don't really get it. We know it, but we don't get it. Paul is not praying that God's people would know that God loves them, but that they will know God's love. Did you hear the difference? You hear the difference in that? That Paul, he talks about that. So what we need to do, if we know that God loves you, but you don't know his love, it's like someone who studies water without drinking it. Y'all with me? And so we need to be seeking to experience more and more of his love on a daily basis. There is nothing that you and I have ever done to make Jesus love us any less than the day that you and I came into existence. Only the love of Jesus makes us who we are. It makes us who we are meant to be. And without it, you will never be whole. The love that Jesus has for you can bring wholeness to every relationship that you have in life, because it's the foundation of love. Every course of action that you choose in life, every hurt that you have experienced, because his love brings healing to your life. And the love of Christ can meet the greatest needs of your life if you just open up to it and allow it to penetrate the deepest recesses of your heart. See, the love of Jesus can bring wholeness to your life. And so as we look at this text this morning, as we look at verse 19, what we're going to find, verse number 18, what we find is that there are four dimensions of God's love that Paul prays that we might understand. The first one is the width or the breadth of God's love. How wide is his love? It's as wide as the world. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in 1 John chapter 2, and beginning there with verse 1 and verse 2, he said, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, we love certain people, but not others. We love certain type of people, but not others. But what I want you to think about is think about the person you most dislike in the world. Now think about this. That person that you dislike, God is crazy about that person. See, Jesus died because God loves sinners. And you have to understand, he loves sinners like you and like me. What you mean? Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God loves, he loves sinners like you and I, but he hates our behavior sometimes. He hates my behavior. He hates your behavior. But God's love is so wide that it still encompasses them. Let it be known that his love is so wide enough for the worst sinner, that his love is wide enough for the most stubborn person, that his love is wide enough for the most unlovable, that his love is wide enough for the phony hypocrites and the pretenders, that his love is wide enough for the red, white, yellow, black, and white, for they are all precious in his sight. That's why, that while there is a tremendous inclusiveness of that love, there is also exclusiveness. That is, those who ignore his love, those who spurn, those who reject, those who refuse his love have effectively excluded themselves from the environment and benefit of that love. And so his love is wide. But then there is the length of God's love. How long will he love us? Eternally. Forever. From here to infinity and beyond. See, our love is not like that. Amen. It should be But it's not. But thank God that his love is like that. When I look at Psalms, in Psalms 103 and verse 17, notice what he said. But the mercy of the love is from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that feared him and his righteousness and the children's children. And then in Psalm 118 and verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Church, you ought to be glad that we serve a God that is good, that his mercy is everlasting. That's how long God's love really is. God's love is forever, and it's always. It isn't just available on Sunday. There are no regular business hours for God's love. The love of God doesn't take a vacation. It doesn't take holidays. It also means that God's love doesn't give up. Our love sometimes sure does. But God's love, it never give up. When I offer people love, they have a certain amount of time to respond. If they don't, forget it. But God's love isn't like that. His love is more enduring than the Energizer Bunny, because it keeps on going, going, and going. See, the Energizer Bunny sometimes is going to have to stop because the battery will eventually get low. But God's love, it keeps on going. Going, going, and going. God doesn't give up on us. God's love is so wide, it embraces everyone. But it's so long that will never let us go. But then, look at the height of God's love. We cannot fathom that altitude is beyond our measure. It's beyond our measure. You look there in Psalms 36 and verse 5, and you look at Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9. If we could ascend, church, to the farthest and highest star, then we would still be under the umbrella of God's love. In Romans chapter 8, and verse 38 and 39, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, when we try to figure out what it's like, we compare it to the love we've known from other people. Sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. So God's love is so wide, it embraces everyone. It's so long-lasting that it'll never let us go. It is such a high quality that it will never let us down. And then there is the depth of his love. Sometimes life gets us down. We are depressed, discouraged, and down in the dark. But no matter how deep the hole you dig, his love is still deep. With Jesus, even in our darkest moments, the best remains, and the very best is yet to be. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look at it within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Because there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. With his love underneath, we can say, there with the psalmist, in Psalm 40 and verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my going. His love reaches us at our lowest point. God's love is absolute solid. It's real. It's something that you can bank your life on. The depth of God's love not only refers to the fact that it's solid, that it's real, but also that it reaches to the deepest part of our being. Some of us are more open than others. Some of us reveal ourselves more freely than others. But all of us have locked closets and dark corners where we don't even like to peek ourselves, let alone have anybody else to look. They are the places that we have shut off from the light of day, the light of love, or even those who are closest to us. Mostly we do it because we're afraid that if someone sees those deep down ugly parts of us, they won't love us anymore. So we just can't risk that. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God's love is deeper than our deepest secrets. It can penetrate the darkness of our worst fears. It can clean out the closets of sin, of despair, and of self-hatred. God's love is so wide. It embraces everyone. It is so long-lasting. It will never let us go. It is such a high quality that it will never let us down. But it's solid enough to bank your life on and deep enough to meet your darkest need. This all-around love, it gives us, is based on one condition. That is, we have to choose to walk within them. You can walk away from the love of Jesus. Oh, yes, you can. I can see I can see you through your mask. Some of y'all may be looking, yes, you can walk away from the love of Jesus. And the sad truth is, we do it every day, and sometimes without knowing. Each day that you choose not to pray is a day that you take another step away from the love of God. Each day that you harbor bitterness and resentment toward another person is a day that you take another step away from the love of Jesus Christ. Each day that you say something less than kind about another person is a day that you take another step away from the love of Jesus Christ. Church, this morning, do you have any idea of how much God loves you? God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Do you know how much Jesus loves you today? He loved you enough that he gave his life on Calvary's cross. He was willing to take on all of our mess and cover it with his blood and carry it to Calvary. Thank God this morning. Thank God for this all around love. If you're here this morning, not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, God loves you. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God left us a plan that we have to follow if we want to be saved. You heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus Christ. And then go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. When you come by that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Old all things have become new. Then the Lord will add you. To add you to his church. The church that he set up on this rock, I build. The gates of hell shall not prevail against him. Matthew 16:18. If you're here and a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, now is the time to get back right with God. Don't leave this place unprepared to meet God. Whatever the case may be, come right now. We stand and sing the song of invitation.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad to him I go, no other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings and he gives them o'er and o'er. Sends the sunshine in the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's leading days shall end. Beautiful life. Such a friend, his people life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend.